The Mission Prayer Network recently held a deliverance conference here in Charlotte, and one of the things we did was we included what we call a School of the Prophets. A School of the Prophets is a series of teachings on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and ministry gifts and how to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then it's followed by a practicum or a practice session, a time where the folks who have been sitting under the teaching get a chance to actually practice letting the Holy Spirit move through them and letting the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate in them. Today's message is the first of the teachings for the School of the Prophets.
I know that the conference is a deliverance conference. And many of you have come primarily for Pastor Justice and to hear about deliverance, for deliverance, to learn about deliverance. I don't want to take anything away from that. And I believe that's why the Lord has led me tonight to kind of go a little bit different direction, okay? So that we're not there's no confusion about the ministry of deliverance and those kind of things. I really want to teach you in a different area, okay? I am humbled to be in the presence of you prayer warriors, you men and women who get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to pray for an hour every morning. The things that y'all have accomplished, the dedication that you have, I'm humbled by that. I just feel like it's a privilege just to be in the same room with you, okay? But I believe the Lord has something for us tonight. Because I know your hearts. Your heart is to be able to minister to other people. Your heart is to be able to pray for people and see God do something. You really want to be effective as a prayer warrior, as a prayer minister. And I believe that the Lord has a teaching tonight that's going to help you with that. And what we're going to do is we're going to start tonight with this teaching, and then we're going to continue it first thing in the morning. And right after we finish teaching in the morning, we're going to have a School of the Prophets. Have you ever been in a School of the Prophets? You ever wondered what it might look like? Lord, talk to me about that. We're going to get some practical stuff. Lord's going to do some really cool stuff tomorrow morning. So make sure you show up, okay? And let me encourage you, if you can, take notes. There are a lot of scriptures. Write down the scriptures so you can study them later. And I also want to make sure that you understand this is interactive. I know you're not used to this concept, but at least for tonight, grant me that if you have a question, you'll hold your hand up and ask the question, okay? It won't interrupt the teaching. It'll become part of the teaching. You understand? Is that okay? Turn to Mark 16. When Pastor Justice was praying for me, he was quoting from Mark 16. This is some of the last words of Jesus on this planet. Now, he didn't quit speaking to us when he left, but this is some of his last words while his feet were on this planet. Mark 16, starting in verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it'll not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. This scripture is not directed to preachers. It's not directed to those who spend their life ministering and teaching others. Not directed to the folks we call pastor. Who does it say is going to do all this stuff? Huh? How does it describe them? Believers, right? Okay. Who here is a believer? Oh, yeah. That means you. That means Jesus said, I expect you to do and continue the things that I was doing. I expect you to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I expect you to be able to cast out demons. I expect you to do these things. And then it says, if you continue reading in verses 19 and 20, it says, so then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and they preached everywhere. They, that's the disciples. That's the believers he was talking to. They proclaimed everywhere. And then it says, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the words by signs that followed. How do you suppose the Lord worked with them to do that? What was the mechanism for that? Have you thought about that? What Jesus is saying is, I have been doing a ministry here. I've been healing the sick, casting out devils. I want you guys to continue to do that now. So when they started praying for people, the same thing started happening. What was it? What was the mechanism that was at work there? Turn to John 20. You see, I think that it was the gifts of the Holy Spirit that were in operation in Jesus. It was ministry gifts, that anointing that Jesus said he had been anointed with to do these things. It was those ministry gifts flowing through him that allowed him to do that. And so when the believers of that time started operating in these ministry gifts, guess what? Signs and wonders followed. In other words, Jesus did continue to do the things he was doing through these ministry gifts. John 20, starting in verse 21, Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Jesus knew that for the disciples to do what he had done, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. If the disciples are going to do what he did, they have to have the same anointing, they have to have the same power that Jesus did. Matter of fact, look at Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. Jesus told them in another place, he said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you're filled with power, until the Holy Ghost and power comes on you. I want you to wait there until you have received power. Once you have received this power, then you can go out into the world. Then you can do these things that believers are supposed to do. We do those through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I think. I'm going to call them tonight ministry gifts, okay? And I believe that for us to be powerful in ministry, we have to be anointed. Actually, you know what I think? I think we ought to be anointed in everything we do. If your job is to drive a cab, you need to be anointed to drive a cab. If your job is to raise children, you need to be anointed to raise children. Now, how many of you have struggled with raising children and thought, boy, this is hard work? Huh? Anybody else but me? Am I the only one that thought this is... I mean, where's the manual on this, Lord? I mean, you need to be anointed to do that, don't you? I think we need to be anointed to do everything in our life. But there are some things where God anoints us to augment our natural talents. Or sometimes he anoints us to do things that we have learned. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about ministry gifts in general, okay? Look at Romans 12, verses 3 and 8. I want to give you some examples of ministry gifts, talk about the different kinds of ministry gifts, and I want to categorize them. I want to kind of put them in context for you. Romans 12, it's verses 3 through 8. I'm not going to read all of it, okay? But I just want to kind of give you an idea. Read it when you get a chance. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members don't have the same function, so we are many. We are one body in Christ, but we're individual members of that. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us exercise those differing gifts accordingly. In other words, we're each different. We each have different strengths and weaknesses. Let's exercise those gifts. You know, he kind of starts to mention some of them. If serving or being a deacon, is that what you do? God's called you to do that. If you're a teacher, then teach. If you're an exhorter or a preacher, then do that. If the Lord wants you to give liberally, if you're a giver, then give liberally. I mean, there's lots of gifts here that he mentions. I contend that there are three categories of giftings, okay? One is natural giftings. That's what we're born with. Two would be learned gifts, things that we have learned along the way, learned how to do. I knew a guy one time that could speak five languages. For him, it was easy, but he still had to learn all five of those languages, right? So, but then the third category of gifts are spiritual gifts. And you don't learn spiritual gifts, and they're not natural. We'll talk about those in a minute. We'll define them. But I want to start by kind of eliminating natural and learned gifts before we get into the spiritual gifts, because that's really what the night's about, is spiritual gifts. So a natural gift is something that you're born with. I have two brothers. One of my brothers has perfect pitch. You know what that means? That means you could say, give me an E flat. And and it would be exactly an E flat. You'd go to the piano and hit E flat, and that would be exactly it. My other brother, he can't carry a tune in a sack, okay? The boy can hardly play the radio. I mean, he doesn't have any musical ability at all. When I was in school, have you ever done these aptitude tests? And part of the test is for spatial ability, your ability to think in three dimensions. And so they'll give you a picture of something, and they say, now, if you folded that up into a 3D object, which 3D object would it be? Do y'all know what I'm talking about with those tests? I scored in like the 96th or 97th percentile in that area when I took those tests. I was just off the charts in this spatial ability. It's just a natural ability that I have. My desk looks like a wreck, and I got piles of stuff on the desk. And if you came to me and said, I need a certain item, I'd go, oh, yeah, that's down here. Yep, here it is right here. I can pull it right out of that pile because that's how I organize in my mind. It's natural. Sometimes our natural abilities are augmented by training and teaching. That brother of mine that has perfect pitch, who, by the way, he's a great musician for a couple of reasons. One, he allows the Lord to anoint him and anoint him to write music and to do praise and worship music. And he's just a great praise and worship leader, great musician. But you know what? He went to school. He studied music. He had piano lessons and voice lessons. He spent a year at ORU doing nothing but music study. He augmented that natural ability with training, and then he allows the Holy Spirit to come in and augment that even further in his musical ability. We have a friend that had a son who was kind of a natural at playing the drums. I mean, I know all little boys want to make noise, right? But this kid eventually got to where he could play the drums. And he was okay at it. He obviously had a natural talent at it. And we encouraged him. We tried to get him to go take lessons from somebody. And he was sort of a rebellious kid and didn't want to do that. Somehow taking lessons took away from his ability or something. I don't know what his thinking was. And so when you'd hear him play the drums, you would think, yeah, this boy's got some talent. But he just kind of misses it here and there. There's just something not quite right because he never developed that talent through training. You understand what I'm saying? So you got natural gifts. We have gifts that talents, things that we have learned. Most of us, if we're in a position of leadership, that's not a natural talent. We have to learn how to lead. If you're a nurse, you have to learn how to be a nurse, right? So there's some scriptures like Romans 12, 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. Peter lists several gifts there, including speakers. And he talks about, we're a steward over the gifts that God has given us. He's talking about natural gifts and learned gifts, things like that. But remember I said there's a third category of gifts? We can use our talents. We can use the things that come naturally to us. But there are times when God wants to move through us in spiritual gifts. And that has nothing to do with your talents, and it has nothing to do with what you've learned. Look at Hebrews 2, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. God also bearing witness with them both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will. When He's talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit, I think He's talking about what I'm talking about tonight, and that's spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, I'm going to define them this way, okay? Spiritual gifts come from and through the Holy Spirit. These gifts come entirely and completely from God. They come through and work through us to accomplish what no human being could accomplish. In other words, something supernatural. We and our efforts, our talents, and our gifts have absolutely nothing to do with spiritual gifts. We are simply the vessels through which these gifts flow. If you want to look at the characteristics of these gifts, they're usually short-term, they're very focused, they're directed at a very specific situation or a specific goal, and they're always temporary, but they're always available. That means we're not operating in those gifts all the time. You operate in that gift for a little while, and then you don't. And then when the situation comes up again, when you need that gift or some other, you let the Holy Spirit move through you, and He operates through you for a few seconds or a few minutes or a few hours, and then it's over with. And then you wait until the next time the Holy Spirit wants to use you. It's supernatural. It's impossible to accomplish what is done with spiritual gifts without the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. This is one of the places where Paul lists some of the spiritual gifts. I think there are more than just these. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 11. Let's read them real quick and kind of set a foundation for us. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts. Notice how He keeps saying the same Spirit and of the Spirit. I mean, He wants to make sure you understand this gift has nothing to do with you, man. This gift is coming from the Holy Spirit. Gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing or discerning of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation in tongues. But one, the same Spirit, works all these, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And if you keep reading, you discover that the purpose of these gifts is to help us and to build us up and to do good things. In other words, continue the ministry that Jesus started. Okay? Now, I think that if you want to be an effective prayer minister, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to operate through you with these gifts. It can be in a church, as part of your ministry in a church. It can be part of your ministry as a teacher or a preacher, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow through you. It can be just as a member of a family, and you want to be able to minister to members of your family, children that get sick. If you want to be an effective prayer minister, you need spiritual gifts flowing through you. You know, when we get together at somebody's house and somebody's sick, or the way you did with me just a while ago when you prayed over me, and we all get together and we get around somebody and lay hands on them and start praying for them, we're doing the work of a prayer minister. Understand? And we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit to do that. Now, and I'm going to shift gears here in a second, but I want to make this very clear. Some people have read that scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, and they've said, so what Paul is talking about is different people have different gifts. So maybe this person has the gift of healing, and this person has the gift of working miracles, and this person has the gift of word of knowledge, and this person has the gift of prophecy. I don't think that's what Paul's saying at all. What Paul is saying is these are just the spiritual gifts that happen to be available to all of us believers. And sometimes you operate in one gift and sometimes you operate in another. And it's not about you and it's not up to you. It's about what the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish at that time. And so we need to be available to the Holy Spirit to operate in any and all of these gifts. You see? And so what I want to do is I want to give you some examples tonight from my life, from my wife's life, of times we have operated in those gifts. I want to do it for several reasons. One is to just kind of give you an illustration. Some of these things you may have never thought about it before or may have never understood how it worked or never thought you could do that. I want to encourage you to think, yeah, I could do that too. I could allow the Holy Spirit to work through me. I'm telling you stories from my life and what's happened to me because I know that it's real, okay? These are the stories I know the best. But don't misunderstand, I'm not telling you stories about me to say, oh, look how spiritual I have been that all of these gifts have flowed through me. Because remember, by definition, it's a spiritual gift. It doesn't have anything to do with me. The only thing I was just an empty vessel that the Lord used. You understand? Okay. So we're lifting up the Holy Spirit and what He's doing through spiritual gifts. That's what we're doing now. Okay? Okay. Now, in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, one of the gifts that he mentioned there, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence. And then look at this last one. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I believe that one of the spiritual gifts is mercy and compassion. And I believe that the exhortation there is to make sure you operate in that gift with cheerfulness is because, let me describe the gift to you and tell you why you need to be cheerful. What happens is the Holy Spirit begins to let you feel His mercy and compassion towards someone in a supernatural way. Maybe you know that person, maybe you don't. Maybe you like them, maybe you don't. The problem is, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you feel like you just want to go up and hug them and wrap your arms around them and never let them go. And they could be the most worthless person in the world as far as you're concerned. And you know that that's a wife beater and he's an alcoholic and he is a no good so-and-so. And yet here God is, has me loving him. You're going to have to be cheerful to be able to do that sometimes. You see what I'm talking about? One time my wife and I had gone to New Orleans. We wanted to go to a certain restaurant down in the French Quarter. It was about this time at night. It was dark. It was late. And as we're walking along, we see a man, middle-aged man in a nice suit, and he's sort of stumbling along, and pretty soon he falls down. He's obviously very, very drunk. And he had fallen down, hit his head. He was bleeding. And when Debbie saw him, this gift of mercy and compassion came on her, and her heart just broke for this guy. In her heart was just, I have got to help this guy somehow. And so we went over to him and tried to help. He didn't want any help. You know, don't bother me. He was really so incoherent, he could hardly even shove us away.
Well, when I looked at him, he looked at me like, don't you dare. There was evil in his eyes.
Debbie looked at him with this great compassion, and he looks back with great evil. Don't even touch me, is what his eyes were saying, you know. And pretty soon the cops came along and shooed us away. And Debbie said, I just want to pray for him. Just let me pray for him. No, no, get away. We don't want you to get away from him. So here we are walking along, going on to this restaurant, and Debbie's crying, and she can't stop crying. And we walk into this restaurant, and I'm sure the maitre d' was wondering, what in the world kind of rotten so-and-so is this guy? He must have been beating his wife or something.
People were looking at you.
Yeah, people were looking at me like, what have you done to her? You know, because she's just boo-hoo, and she just can't help it. You know, the compassion of God has come upon her. It's the gift, I think, of mercy and compassion. And as a matter of fact, if you want to be a prayer warrior, if you want to be a real prayer minister, I say you need to start praying. God, bring your compassion on me. Break my heart for the people I'm praying for, okay? Let me sense that mercy that you have. Lord moves with me in that a lot of times. And sometimes it's kind of good news and sometimes it's kind of bad news. Matter of fact, men, if you want to end your ministry as a prayer minister, if you want to get in the place where you're kicked out of your church or out of ministry in a hurry, then let that gift of compassion and mercy come on you for some woman you're praying for and reach around and give her just this big hug. Let the whole, you know, you can't do that, right? My wife has watched me do this. Lord will come on me like that, and I'll tell her or Grace or somebody else around, somebody come over here and hug this woman, okay? I can't, but she needs a hug. I can tell that, you know? So mercy and compassion. I think that can be something that we just naturally have. It can be something that we have developed. It can also be a spiritual gift. It comes on you from the Holy Spirit, and when it leaves, it's gone. Okay? One of the other areas that I think is overlooked sometimes in spiritual gifts, turn to Hebrews 7:25. Romans 8:34 talks about this very same thing. What's Jesus' full-time job right now? Somebody tell me. What's his full-time job? Interceding for us. That's exactly right. I believe that one of the other spiritual gifts is intercessions or supplications. You could just call it praying, I guess. I think this is a very important gift for us prayer ministers because we want to pray properly for folks. We want to know how to pray for people. We want to know how to pray the most effective possible way. And we have learned different people need prayer in different ways, and I don't always know what it is. If the Holy Spirit doesn't tell me, I'm just without luck on that, you know? 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Timothy is being admonished here by Paul. Pastor Timothy is being told, Pastor Timothy, I expect you to pray and offer prayers and supplications and intercessions for all the folks that are under your care. That's what the Lord expects us to do. And oh, by the way, we need to do that with praise and with worship, see, with petitions and thanksgivings. I think praise and worship is always part of how this gift is offered, okay? The gift of supplications or intercessions.
We'll break this here for today. Tune in next week for more School of the Prophets and teaching on gifts of the Holy Spirit.